हरिः ॐ सहनववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरिगौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 61. Sukadev Goswami continued, "When Indra observed this exhibition of Lord Krishna's mystic power, he became most astonished, pulled down from his platform of false pride, and his intentions thwarted, he ordered his clouds to desist." Footnote 30. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns the verses 23 to 24 to Bhagavad Arkamichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the book. Yeah, so Krishna is using these mystic powers and that just to please his devotees, just to protect his devotees, because he's taken that vow. So his love for his devotees is such that he will make all these nice arrangements. Right? And then also his affection for Indra, so that he also loses his position of pride, then we see manifest here. Seeing that the fierce wind and rain had now ceased, the sky had become clear of rain clouds, and the sun had risen, Lord Krishna, the lifter of Govardhan Hill, spoke to the cowherd community as follows. Lord Krishna said, "My dear cowherd men, please go out with your wives, children, and possessions. Give up your fear. The wind and rain have stopped, and the river's high waters have subsided."
We know that it lasted for 7 days. That's how long it took him to realize?
It appears so.
It's a bit slow.
Well, Jambavana took him 28 days, I think. Like that, just, you know, because that's the fun. Krishna wants to take care of the residents for that long, and so therefore it takes him that long to figure it out. And then when he does figure it out, then now the pastime moves on. So it's just up to the Lord's pleasure. Right? So that's the thing, is that whenever Krishna wants, according to his pleasure, that's when it ends. So that's the whole point, is this aspect is just Krishna's pleasure. Because then to interact with the devotees, how that they can taste, how they can appreciate.
Can you say that if Indra didn't have this pride, so Krishna would have thought about something else? But here, because he uses this at the same time to accomplish a few things.
Yes, means Krishna always does so many things at once. So they all have, means this problem comes up, then he'll find some nice way of doing it, just like you did with Lord Brahma. Because Lord Brahma, then all these devotees wanted to have Krishna. They had so much affection for Krishna, so then to interact with them on that basis, then he came as the cows, the calves and the cowherd boys, so that then all the mothers of Vrindavan then could have him as their son. So he combines these things. So we see this when it's Paritya-naya sadhunam vinashaya duskritam. The duskritis, that's the side, that's the excuse. To take care of the devotees, then that's the real thing.
Can we also say that if we compare Lord Brahma and Lord Indra in their offense, severity of their offense, we can say that Brahma's is much less severe.
Yes, on that side you could.
But he didn't want to destroy him.
No, but I'm saying it's a different flavor, so therefore there's a different anartha. Point is it needs to be removed. And so then as we come along, then we do that. Because then just the comparing of the two, then we're making an aspect of a judicial aspect rather than the focus on what is to be removed. You understand? So that's why one can't do that. But and that may be also a very, you know, popular way of approaching things. But the point is that that's not actually the lessons to learn. But here with Indra, then it's that idea that a worship of the demigods, that that's something important, and that idea that I am supreme and I am worshipable. And of this, of all the things, I am supreme and I am worshipable is the last thing to go. So in that way, you could say it's the most. So because of that, but as far as the amazingness of the pastime and this and that, then each one has its own unique thing. And so then one, you know, may judge, you may bring out that as a side point, but I wouldn't make that a main study. You know what I'm saying? Because it as a main study would be very easily grasped by others, but not from the point that's actually the Bhagavatam's making. Is that what it is? You know, it's just like I've heard of books on the Mahabharata where they just do the whole Mahabharata from Bhishma's point of view or from Draupadi's point of view or different things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, because one is something new so you can write a book and make some money. But then the problem is it's just they're bringing out that particular angle, but it's not the angle of what is wanted by the Pandavas in their relationship with Krishna. So that becomes lost in this whole intellectual thing. Though it may be very cleverly done and very nicely done, and it may or may not be referred to other aspects of the scriptures, but the problem comes up is that the actual purpose of the Mahabharata is not accomplished. You know what I'm saying? So one has to be very careful in this, because otherwise these kind of things would be popular. If you put up a seminar, you know, comparing between Lord Brahma's pastime and Lord Indra and the different various, or the different demons and the various offenses, then people would come and they would sit on the sidelines and then go, yes, yes, this is worse, this is less, this, but they wouldn't apply it to themselves, you know, unless that was your specific point that you were trying to do. So one has to be careful, but I don't see that much. I remember seeing Jayadwaita Maharaj. He did something, I forget what he called it, because he's always good at calling his seminars by something totally wild.
There was some false ego, somebody.
Yeah, but he did something with the whole story of the Pariket Maharaj getting cursed. And so it was a 5-day seminar, so for the first 2 days, you kind of thought he was going off on this more modern kind of viewpoint and tangent and this and that, and supporting all the kind of modern viewpoints and all that. But then when he had kind of thoroughly given all that, and then he brought it around, then he showed how that's absolutely not how it works, and then showed the exact opposite. He actually defeated all those things. And then the last few days, he showed that this is actually what's going on. So it was, but I haven't seen anyone other than him be able to pull that off, right? So if you can do something, then you can do that. If that will catch your attention, then you show how the actual thing is what we're gaining. So it's not a matter of us judging, because it's a matter of you're judging yourself. So yes, you can judge. So what's more important? What was Brahma's? What was the thing with Brahma?
I don't remember that.
No. But I'm saying, what was the anartha?
That's in the previous book.
Aishwarya was higher than Madhurya. Okay. So then that Aishwarya is higher than Madhurya, so are we looking at that in ourselves, or that how we think we're, you know, whatever we think is the absolute truth, and therefore we should be respected for that? You know what I'm saying? So the point is they're both a problem, because we see is even up to, I'm not sure, even this morning, there's doubts come up about the Aishwarya aspect. Why isn't Krishna doing like this? But the point is it's not about Aishwarya. He does that. That's going on plenty. The whole of Vaikuntha is going on in Aishwarya, right? So that's 49% of, you know, the spiritual world. And then you have Goloka, and then you have within that the realms. You have Mathura. You have Dwarka, Sweta Dweep, and you have Braj. So then in that.
Ayodhya.
Yes, but that's all part of the Swetadweep scene. Swetadweep is kind of like everything else, you know, Hastinapur, everything, you know, like that. What do you call it? The Dwarka spin-offs, right? You know, everything like that. So everything goes like that. So then you could say that it's only a certain part of that. So it would appear that it's the smallest amount of the volume. But when it says it's divided into four.
This is adept.
Yeah, but it's also got that funny top on it. And the whole, yeah. This is from? So, yes, so seemingly it's a small part, but then one can't say for sure that the 51% that's there, Goloka, even though it's divided into four quarters, it's not that the quarters are necessarily equal.
You know. But I was thinking more that...
You know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of this Aishwarya going on. So sweetness means it's just sweetness. It doesn't require the Aishwarya. But we see, even up to now, we're still in chapter 25, we're still worried about the Aishwarya. And we can keep worrying until around the, what is it, you know, 40-50th one, and then it twitches into Dwarka, then we don't have to worry anymore, because then it is in Aishwarya. So that, therefore, then, it's well, no problem at all. No problem.
I was thinking, in the application to ourselves, how severe the offense is sometimes.
The offense is there, but you have to see is what's causing the offense. Brahma is because he thinks that the Aishwarya, he's not manifesting that. But the same thing is he's thinking that he has the same problem because he's not manifesting. But because of his pride, it comes out differently. Well, Brahma has some pride, naturally, because he's the creator of everything and all that. But he came to see that it's Krishna, and then when he sees this, then it didn't make sense because he's used to Krishna and Aishwarya, not in sweetness, so it didn't make sense to him. So, if he is the Supreme Lord, he wanted to test like that, but then as he saw, you know, you don't test. So, in one sense, they're both a similar kind of principle, but the mood of one was better than the other. But the point is, all of these things are going to keep you out of the spiritual world. So they all have to be addressed.
Interesting that in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, Advaita Acharya also wanted to test Lord Chaitanya when he came to Navadvip.
Right.
But Lord Chaitanya just sent, I don't know whom he sent to Advaita Acharya and said that stop testing me. You know who I am. So he didn't get angry. It was totally different.
But he is Lord Vishnu. You know, so it's just that aspect of the opulence testing the sweetness, you know. But the point is it's just for fun, but his thing is, you know, you don't need to go through all this. Because in the past time, he's always going to see him as senior and this and that, so there's... They have fun.
Maharaj, just extending her question about Brahma and Indra, that we shouldn't compare. So
we don't need to compare. It's not that we can't compare, but there should be an actual reason for it, because otherwise we're just saying one is more nasty than the other and that, but then how are we defining nastiness? Because in here, this is going on the anartha. So if we want to compare on the judicial platform, unless we're comparing it by Manu, then we wouldn't be able to make a proper, you know, adjustment. Now, in this, now if we go according to Manu, okay? So then according to Manu, then you have five main things that you just can't allow in your kingdom for the king. Other things are dealt with and they happen, but these five you really have to go after, because they mess up everything. And so one of them is thievery, right? So Brahma stole all his cows and calves, right? But there's a difference between a thief and a burglar, right? Because a thief just comes and steals things but doesn't do any harm to anyone. But a burglar can actually come and it's like armed robbery. They come in, tie people up, beat people, this and that, then steal everything. So that's worse. So then that physical violent aspect is worse than that. So from that aspect, then you can say that he's there, but he wasn't technically stealing anything. He feels it's been stolen from him. So then you have that. So therefore, then those who are violent, then that also has to be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? So then how do you get into this? And then why would we be comparing him this way? You know, Brahma's a thief and he's violent. You know, so it's not an appropriate thing, because you're dealing with Ishwaras that are beyond these rules.
Well, so the same thing applies even amongst devotees, that we shouldn't be judgmental.
Basically, unless you have a responsibility to take care of them, then what's the point of your judgmentalness? Otherwise, we said it's like the ultra crepidarians, is that they're making comments above. See, and I think in Latin or Greek, it's something to do with the crepid, whatever the crepidity is here. It means the sandals, the shoes. So it's referring to a cobbler, right? The cobbler's fixed shoes. So it comes back to, I think, what is it? I don't even know how you say the guy's name. It starts with a P, but it's something Palotami or something, but it's not said like that. We don't know all these things.
What did he do?
Huh?
Egyptian.
Hmm?
Egyptian P?
No. Greek.
With the
bed? Hmm? No. Whatever. He was an artist. He had done a painting, and this cobbler is making comments. And his comment was, "Is you shouldn't comment above the shoes. Because you know shoes. If I was doing shoes and you're better, then you can comment that I didn't make a nice shoe. But you're not a painter. What do you know about painting? So it's not your business to comment." Right? And so that's then where the concept came from.
So I mean, the same anartha that boils from control and enjoy. It boils from the same anartha as being supreme.
Means everything comes down to I'm the controller and enjoyer. But this one, this pastime specifically addresses. The other ones is just different derivations of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because the original sin is the I'm the controller and enjoyer. And so from that comes all the aspects of karma and gyan. Then the derivations of what's karma and what's gyan. Now when, and karma, am I just, I think I'm just doing it whatever I do, so I don't see any rules, I just make up my own, or am I accepting the rules of the Vedas? And if I am, and I accepting it according to the Shaktas, am I accepting it for the Shaivites, am I accepting it like this, or am I having tried that, now I reject it because it can't give you happiness, so I'm taking up the path of, you know, renunciation or how you say, skepticism. So in other words, karma means optimism, that I can make this place wonderful. Skepticism means you can't make it wonderful. Right? So the optimists don't want to hear anything negative, and the pessimists don't want to hear anything positive. Right? You know, it's just like an optimistic story has to end with a good ending. And the pessimistic one, it absolutely cannot. If it does, that, you know, it's just the people won't be able to sleep, you know, like that. It had a good ending. You know, what is this? You know, they're trying to do destroy the world or something, you know, like this. It's just this, you understand? So you have these two categories. Now, within that, then, is demigod. Do they just worship the elements? Do they worship the demigods? You know, do they worship, you know, Vishnu, you know, the Panchopasana, or just or Vishnu, or do they go up to the Supreme? How do they see the Lord? So all these different things that they can approach, and these are all the variations. I'm the controller and enjoyer. Does that make sense? So when you're younger, it's more I'm the enjoyer. When you find out you can't really enjoy, so you switch to the next option. I'm the controller. Right? And then if you, by controlling, then you're happy and all that, then that's good. And when that doesn't work, you become extreme controller, that no one else should be happy. So your controlling is no one else should be happy, because it's not possible to be happy. Even if they are happy, it's not real. It should be stopped. Right? You know, like that. So I find that, as long as it struck me, is I remember some adults were talking like this when I was a kid. About I forget what it was, some story or something where there's a very young couple, you know, very young teen couple, and they were making, and these guys were, how old would they have been? you know, up in the 30s, late 30s or so or more. And so they were making the point that that's not real love. They would call this puppy love. Like that. Real love is they haven't, you know, that you have to be older and mature and all. In other words, when it's a complete freak out and they're ready to kill themselves over the problems that they have, not over the affection they have, then they'll call that real love. So they just become so pessimistic that that puppy love didn't turn into anything, and so therefore now it's just being practical and this and attachment and lust and all these things, and they'll say, that's love. Right? So therefore, those who have a more kind of more standard kind of attraction, they'll say that's not proper because it's too optimistic. Their point is, unless it's pessimistic, you can't actually have love. You understand? So the point is it's just these are all the different aspects that come up from, you know, means understanding the reality of what you have to deal with and this and that, but that doesn't mean you have to break down, you know, that mood. But the point is both of these have a problem. Because both of them aren't seeing the Supreme Lord. The only real optimistic thing is the Supreme Lord, and the real pessimistic thing is the material world. That you can be happy here, then you're pessimistic. That you can be happy in the spiritual world, you're optimistic.
A spirit of criticism in contemporary Vaishnava culture. The name of the lecture, Jayadu Maharaj.
A spirit
of criticism in contemporary Vaishnava culture.
Ah, okay. Yeah, so in the beginning you thought he was talking, it's all right to criticize. Then he turned it around and showed it's total nonsense.
Co-lecturing are you?
Huh?
You were there in the lecture, you were co-lecturing almost.
Really?
Yeah. In that lecture you made, one point you made was that...
yeah. At... 10:37 and 22 seconds, so you said.
And I quote.
Yes.
It's relevant to the story of the
Go
first
ahead,
time.
Please.
He said that in the Zonal Acharya times, even the Zonal Acharya people, they used to be very arrogant and rude. If you go up to them and be humble and again say your thing in a humble way, it, 1 second you see the mood change from, you know, arrogant to like completely calm.
Right. Yeah, no, it's totally. Those ones that are saying the big controllers and this and that, you dealt properly, then they understand what you're talking about. They just wouldn't tolerate any arrogance on anybody else's part. But if you dealt with a nice way, they were smart enough to see what was real and what's not. And so you could get what now takes years to possibly get done, you could do it in minutes. Like that. So it's just a matter of sense. We have to be humble anyway. What does it matter if everybody else is arrogant? But this idea of, no, if I'm going to make the endeavor to be humble, everybody else better be making that endeavor
first.
Also. Yeah, or even first. Yeah,
yeah,
like that. You know, they're the leaders. They should do it first. Then I'll follow. You know, like this. No, it's just every individual can make that on their own. That's the point. Devotional service is so unique. It's being independent. An individual, despite all obstacles, can be Krishna conscious. Despite everybody else. This idea, oh, how can we be Krishna conscious? All these people are doing this and all these people are doing... That means then we're saying we're dependent. But what we're going to show is a conclusion. Therefore, I'm going to be independent of this. But that doesn't make sense. You're saying, I'm dependent on all this, so I'm going to become independent. But the point is if you're dependent, you won't be able to do anything on your own either. And if you're independent with them, then you'll be able to do whatever you want. You'll be able to be Krishna conscious despite everybody else. Okay. Why not? That was back in the 90s. Yeah, okay.
Still up to date.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's the advantage of Krishna consciousness. It never gets old.
Mark, previously we also said about the dairy products. Remember?
Morning.
And it was all based on dairy products?
Yeah. Right? I mean, it says that's the central point, because cows are the central point, Brahmins and cows. So Brahminical culture goes on because you have the products from the cows, because that's what's used in all the sacrifice. So since sacrifice is meant to be offered to Vishnu, then that means Krishna likes dairy products. Otherwise, then the most important thing would be grains or vegetables or fruits or,
sugar.
You know.
Sugar.
Yeah, sugar or... you know, what do you call them? Zucchini spaghetti, or, you know, stuff like that, you know, something, you know. You know, so that's the main thing. And then from there, it's so nice, you can use it with any of the others. But the others, you can mix certain things, like vegetables and fruits, you don't mix. And sabjis and sugar, you generally don't. There's a few cases you can, but very rare. I think portal is about the only one you can, or pumpkin. They're the only ones that you, the vegetables that you can make into sweets. You know, you don't generally don't see a cauliflower sweet and all that. And,
no. Mm-hmm.
Cauliflower burfi. Who has that?
Bengali sweets.
Wow. Okay. So then. Okay. Then. So then, sugar is also universal, right? So sugar and dairy. You know, that's the thing. And then throw in vegetables and fruit as you please.
Potato maybe.
Potato is the king. So. You know what I'm saying? But dairy products are the emperor, right? Because Prabhupada mentions that something's considered higher class by the wider range of things you can use it in. So that's why potatoes consider that you can do anything with it. But other vegetables, it's more limited what you can do. But even within those, some things you can do more, some things less. So, that, you know, like a rutabaga or a turnip, there's not as many things you can do with them. Yeah.
Devotees who are under our care. So
the devotees who are
under our care, we are caretaker.
Under our
care.
Under our care. Okay. Okay. I didn't. Okay.
So when we see that some improvement has to be made in their life, then how we should deal?
Means that you deal in whatever way is going to get them to respond. So that you have to see according to their nature, then it'll be different. Everybody's different, so you'll deal differently. But basically you have thunderbolt and rose and everything in between. You know, like so I mean, I guess the most strong on the one side is getting hit up the side of the head with a pillow. Okay. Yeah.
Can we see karma and God?
Well, that's another thing, but it's also according to their natures. More brahminical, then it's more just based on the knowledge, that the knowledge is presented right and shown how it's actually the proper thing to do. Kshatriya is the same thing, but it has to be practical. They have to see the practical side of it. Vaishya, then the tendency is then what will actually be the benefit, so they see how it's beneficial in Krishna consciousness or how it's not. It's not about the rule, it's what you'll, the effect of it. And Shudra just will be the mood. So therefore you have to deal in such a way that they'll feel, you know, that they would want to do it properly because of the emotional aspect. Or how you should avoid it because of the emotional aspect. Does that make sense? So you have that, and then it's, it will be more soft, more hard, more, you know, so it's just very much based on the nature, you know, what age they are, what's, you know, like that. You know, but you also have to, in the beginning, it's you know, what they are, but what they think they are, you have to start with that, you know, until Krishna consciousness kicks in and they figure out who they are, but sometimes that can take a while. So, yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia into their wagons, the coward men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them, while all living creatures looked on. So this seems to have happened just that, because they were doing the circumambulation and that. And remember, they had all the cows and calves, they had all the carts. It said they also had all their valuables. Like that, because they probably also brought, you know, for charity and other things like that, or to use them as sacks. So they already kind of had everything with them. And then they were next to Govardhan when all this started, so then immediately then. But Krishna had arranged it like that, so they wouldn't be so distressed. Otherwise, if they're all at the house, they have to pack everything, they have to get from there to Govardhan. You know, it's not going to work out. After collecting their respective cows and loading their paraphernalia onto their wagons, the cowherd men went out. The women, children, and elderly persons gradually followed them. While all living creatures looked on, the Supreme Personality of Godhead put down the hill in its original place, just as it had stood before. 31. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura assigns verse 28 to Bhagavad Akramichimala, chapter 19, entitled The Perfection of the Mellow of Pure Love, the Unlimited Dimensions of Rasa, Siddha Prema Rasa, Rasa Garima, which is in the Prayojana section of the Thakura's book. So, like this, it pleases, because Govardhan's so wonderful and that, everything's going on, so he wants it back exactly how it was. He took care of everyone, now that aspect of the pastime's finished, so then he puts everything back the way it was. Because how Braj is how he likes it. You know, it's not that something's not quite the way he wants it, but he's working on it, you know, like that. And, you know, it's always perfect.
So it means that when Krishna left Govardhan Hill, the hill expanded, and when he put down,
It went back to its regular size. It expanded so that everybody could come under it. So it seems he picked it up, and like that, when he invited everybody, then it just, as it needed, it just got bigger. Because everybody had to come, they had to be comfortable. It's not that they're all packed in there and all that. It's not the sardine program. So they're in there comfortably and everything.
The Govardhan that we are seeing now.
But it means this will be smaller because of the aspect of he's sinking. So mountains always be smaller at the top. Then, so he slowly goes down. I think it's a mustard seed every year.
Yes.
Every day. Not a year. Whoa. Now, is that that's the regular mustard seed or the rye mustard seed? Because the rye one's like half the size. So hopefully it's a smaller one, right? Wow.
Organic mustard seed. Smaller size, organically.
Organically.
Maharaj, I heard that the Govardhan mounting was...
Who did you hear from? Just before we start.
Some devotee,
okay.
Say that Govardhan mountain was as high as Himalaya.
It was 2 miles high. So that's 3 kilometers high. Right? That makes sense. So that's quite high.
It's really high. That.
Yeah. That's what he started off at. So that's why now every day a mustard seed gets smaller. That's why he's now the size he is now.
5,000 years.
It's much higher than before.
It means 2 miles high. Right? I think what Everest is like about a mile, no? It's around 5,000?
Yes.
Everest is 8 kilometers.
And 9,000
meters.
Oh, 9,000 meters.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
9,800.
Okay, but whatever, he's 2 miles high. And he's only the top off of the mountain that he was originally from. Because they were bringing him to build the bridge. And so they only took the top of the mountain. So you can imagine how big the mountain was originally. But in any case, yeah, he was bigger. So is that okay, or?
Yeah, just, yes. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Just make sure it's okay. Now you have heard he was tall.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, where were we?
Yes.
Okay. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, right? So that's the whole point, is that just it increases their love for Krishna. That's the whole point of the pastime, not that the other things like that. Oh, no, we have something we can do.
Okay.
It's just that much of the time we sentence and...
Oh,
yeah.
So
the idea is that that's the whole purpose of the pastimes. It's just the interaction. But it's not that it's not really going on and all these moods aren't there. You know, it's being done because it's just the pleasure of Krishna with the pleasure of the devotees and how they respond, and then that's how it goes. So then that's the aspect. So then, you know, unlimitedly these pastimes can go on because every time they happen, the basic framework's the same, but the slight little differences will be there. Like that, you know, who goes out first, who goes out last, or, you know, different things like that. You know. All the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with ecstatic love, and they came forward and greeted Sri Krishna according to their individual relationships with him. Some embraced him, others bowing down to him, and so forth. The cowherd women presented water mixed with yogurt and unbroken barley corns as a token of honor, and they showered auspicious benedictions upon him. Right, but it's all done because they love him and they're respecting from that side, not from on reverence. You know, it's not a Vaikuntha move. It's just that he's done something nice, so they want to give something nice because that was so auspicious. They give things according to auspiciousness. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, as if singing out of prema, Sukadev describes a joyful meeting between all the people present here and the Lord. They approached him who had held Govardhan to protect Vraja, or they all met him with embraces, though he had displayed great powers. The cause was the great abundance of prema caused by his actions in saving them. They approached him with embraces as well as blessings, smelling his head, grasping his feet, massaging his left hand, right? Because, you know, he held it up for so long, so he wanted to massage, yeah. And then, and cracking his fingers, right? You know, because part of the massage, they always crack the fingers and stuff like that, you know, so. Praising him and asking if he were no longer tired or suffering, appropriate to the rank of the person, yata, superior, equal, or inferior. Or yata can mean with affection, right? So then it will be with affection, but it'll be according to the kind of affection. It'll be parental affection, it'll be friendship, like this. The gopis blessed him, saying, destroy the wicked, protect the righteous, be served by all powers, and give joy to your own people. So now we know where the give joy to your own people comes from.
Manoj,
yes.
These are all the anubhavas, that means. Smelling his head, grasping his feet, massaging his left hand, are all the anubhavas.
Yeah, no, they'll all be anubhavs. Anubhav means this, what you feel like doing when you come in contact with Krishna. Right? Does that make sense? The physical reactions, that's the sattvika. The mental reactions, that's the
sanchari.
The sancharis. So the point is most of these are all the same. You see, if you see the list of the three, you'll see so many of them are the same in all of them. But it's just a matter of, is it an action? You know, it doesn't mean that if the action's there, there's not emotions and physical reactions. But it's more in terms of something that you're doing. The other one is then an effect that the body has from that. You understand? And the other is the mental state. So in one sense, you can say they're all sanchariis. In another state, you can say that they're all anubhavas. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just a matter, but they have different flavors. So that's why then you see which one the acharyas point out, then you understand what's the flavor. Not that the other's not there. Just like, does that make sense? So that's there. So Mother showed us an anxiety over seeing the situation, that's an anubhava, but anxiety is also a sanchari bhava. You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of there's something else going on, and then anxiety is part of that, or anxiety is the main thing. You know, it's just a matter of seeing what's what. These are the ingredients, then you put it together. Right? So they're giving him blessings. Destroy the wicked, protect the righteous, be served by all powers, and give joy to your own people. So then these are just nice things that they're inspired to say and do, and it's all out of affection. Like that. Yes, because it's that, you know, the elders want to see you, you know, deal properly, always be righteous, always, you know, get benefit, always work with your own people. Right? You know, and that all benefits that are there may you have. You know, it's standard kind of thing. So this is where it comes from. Sukadev Goswami continued, Mother just showed up. Like, here they naturally do it. You don't have to tell them. But the scriptures will say, you know, then in meeting, then the seniors will give blessings or, you know, benedictions to the juniors, and the juniors will offer respects to, because then it's something that we have to be told to do because we don't know. Does that make sense? You know, because let's say you're in a pack of wolves, okay? So now there is a alpha wolf, right? And so then you do what you're supposed to. Why? Because the alpha wolf is, yeah, bigger than you, stronger than you. He knows more than you. But as you're around in the pack for many years, then after a while, you're as strong and know as much as the alpha wolf. So now, are you going to be dealing with him the same? Not necessarily. You'll try, and if he beats you, then yes. And if not, then you'll take over. In a sense, so we're not necessarily used to, from going through 8 million, 400,000 species of life, exactly what you're supposed to do. Therefore, the Shastras say what a human should do. Because the other things you don't have to say. You don't have to tell a cat. You don't have to sit down your cat and say, okay, cat, this is what you do. Right? Right? You ever have to sit down your cat and tell it what to do?
He can try.
That is a mouse. You're a cat. You're supposed to chase the mouse. I know he's your best friend, but you're supposed to chase the mouse.
Yeah. And then you've got Tom and Jerry.
Yeah. You have that too. Yeah, yeah. Like that. So that's why it is defined in the scriptures. And then they'll quote from these because it just supports their mood. So they'll quote Shastra, but they're the ones that actually are the origin of the Shastra. Yes.
We see that the bhava is flowing naturally.
Yes.
From Vishai to Ashray, from Ashray to Vishai. There are no rules and regulations as such. But in our case, if we want to develop close relationship with the devotees, then we follow etiquette.
Yes, yes.
So how can we do that?
I mean, your basic thing is if you're humble, you're tolerant, you're respectful to others, not looking for respect for yourself, basically all etiquettes can be accomplished. Because humble means you don't think that you're something special, because that's one of the first things that gets in the way of proper etiquette. You know, it's this aspect that I think I'm the controller. I'm special. I'm the supreme, right? And so then, and then one is tolerant, right? So tolerant means that you're forgiving, right? Intolerance means you can't forgive. Tolerance means you can forgive. Something's going wrong, but you're forgiving at the moment, so it doesn't bother you. So if that is there, then you can also deal. You know, what's appropriate.
And if you forgive later?
Then it'll go better later. It depends upon what happened between the incident and when you did forgive. You know, how you say? How much baggage was collected in that, yes. It just means it'll take that much more. If you're respecting others, then it'll be not. If you're humble, respecting others, you're tolerant of anything that goes on, then how can there be a problem? And if in doing that you're not looking for respect for yourself, then it can always go on nicely. So that means all etiquettes, whatever you do know, then you can follow. And if we are like that and we appreciate the importance of etiquettes, then when we see it going on, then we'll note them and then try to apply those. But otherwise, if we don't think etiquette's important, it's just part of the story, and yeah, we've heard that story. Now let's get down to something important. You know? Is that...
Because in one way, it's an unusual pastime, because we know demons, they want to destroy Krishna. But here we see one devotee, he wants to destroy other devotees. And that happens... you know, with us... as
yes, but why does it happen? Because we think... we are supreme and we are worshipable. And we think that worship of something other than Krishna is important. Because you'll generally see those who are most interested in destroying others are the ones that are most distracted by something other than pure Krishna consciousness. And they think of themselves more than they probably should attribute and expect to get noted for that. Otherwise, why would you have the confidence to take on an effort to actually cause problem to others? Because you have to be quite confident that it'll work. So that means you have to be confident of your abilities. Does that make sense? So it's the same point. It's the same anartha. So that's what has to be destroyed, is that anartha. So the taking part in Govardhan Hill... in that, you're distributing prasad, you're doing all these different things, because then it removes the sanarta. And so if we're aware, it goes away easier. If we're not aware, it goes away a little slower. So that's why all these pastimes then are done. But we see of all the pastimes, then this is one of the ones that's predominant as a pastime. That and, you know, the affection of Mother Jashoda, how you can only bind Krishna by love. And that for the devotees, one has to give up this idea that I'm the controller and enjoyer, and that there's something that is authority or will give me satisfaction or happiness other than Krishna. Because we don't see many other pastimes are brought out as a major. You know, I mean, there's the appearance, of course. But other than the appearance, then we don't see that many pastimes are brought out so much. So, because these two are quite core elements. Is there isn't anything else that will please Krishna. So therefore, our focus on the secondary isn't as important as we think. And that I'm the one doing it and I'm the one that should be respected for that, that's not at all appreciated by Krishna. But, or thinking that's something else. Oh, the karmis, they know better how to do things than us, or other sampradayas, or the intellectuals, or, you know, whatever it is that we think is, that we elevate up to some kind of status. Because otherwise, why would we be focusing on them if we didn't respect these people? It's not a matter of, okay, in this book, we have this big fat book, and in this big fat book, technically there's maybe one or two pages of really valuable information there in the whole book. And so it's not being presented within the context of our approach that, okay, we've been trying this, we're not getting, but this person has observed, you know, he's written the whole book, and this is how much is, you know, he's caught of the essence, but this matches with our philosophy here, that's why it works. So, just so that we can understand the art, like we may know the science, but the art we don't know. They're catching the art, but they don't know the science. So then we take their art and mix it with the science, you know, it's lame man, blind man. Like that. They're blind. You know, but they can walk around. So they can make money, they can do this, but they're blind. They don't know what to do with it. And we know what to do, but we're lame. So then we connect the two together. But then it takes on our flavor. But when it's about, no, we did this, and you study the book, and quoting like this, and then you're elevating them up to like a demigod status, or a celebrity status. So it's the same kind of thing. It's just not, it's not demigod worship, it's celebrity worship. You know, and as soon as we don't think they're a celebrity, then they're out. You know, but the demigods, whether you want to worship them or not, they're still respectable. You know.
Sometimes we hear devotees use the modern to confirm Shastra rather than the other way around. See here, you can see that what it says in Bhagavatam is actually true.
Yeah. But it's just as long as then they get the faith in Bhagavatam, then slowly. But if they don't understand that point, then they might get distracted. Because then if it says something different from Bhagavatam, then they might doubt Bhagavatam. But it has to be Bhagavatam's correct. I may not know how to explain it, and in my going around or reading or seeing or that, then I bump into something where I see a practical example of it being applied. Then I can see, oh, this is what Bhagavatam was talking about. But the person, by their karma and that, then they were able to have that effect. Because generally, we're only looking to all these others for the secondary aspect. You know, trying to confirm the Vedic secondary, but it's the primary that's what you're trying to see. And the secondary is just that the Shastra says is just the standard. And then when you're in a non-standard environment, then, you know, does that make sense? You know, it's like you would be taking the potatoes, you would be, you know, washing them, peeling them like that, dealing with them, and then, you know, frying them or something, and then, you know, doing like this. But instead you end up, microwaving a bunch of frozen tater tots, you know, like that. Because that's all you have. You're in the back of your van, that's it. Right? You're somewhere between Cincinnati and somewhere else, and that's all that they had, right? You know what I'm saying? So therefore, but the principles on which you're dealing, then that can still function, but the secondary detail is a long way from home. Right? especially since the tater tots are from the south anyway, and you're up in the north, so then even, you know, yeah. Okay.
But,
yes.
Sometimes we happen to be in the class.
You happen to be in the class.
And the people who are speaking, you're
not in the class now? No, I mean, this is one of those happenings.
Other classes.
So it's a happening now.
Wait a minute.
Other classes. So, but...
You're in both classes at once? You expand, like, you can, so you can be up to 9 classes at one time.
Right? Okay. Weekends I have to be.
Yes, so during the festival, then you can be in 9 classes at once. That's pretty good.
For everything?
Yeah, I mean, that's a, how you say it?
Record.
Yeah.
So, actually, whenever there are exceptions, like, for example, you have to maintain the family even by criminal means.
Right.
So taking these points from Manu, they say that Manu doesn't work. Whatever they want to, because they don't know how to put it.
Yeah, whole point is this. Okay, now would it be all right to do business? The person who's complaining. Yes? Is it all right to do business? Okay, then doing business, they're getting money. How did they get the money? Is the thing that you're selling actually worth what you're selling it for? So then, is that not cheating? And he's quite comfortable maintaining his family that way?
Yes.
So then, what's being talked about? Haven't you ever heard that the price of this is criminal? Because it is.
Highway robbery.
Yes, highway robbery, this
quinoa
and that.
In India.
Yeah, quinoa in India, yeah. You know, it's
so... Because they are seniors, we are not able to say anything.
So you don't say anything. But you can always, at that time, if it just moves on, then you continue. If they're going to elaborate on it, then that's the moment when you have to go to the bathroom.
Because same way, the same audience, you have to go and give class. And there are 2 types of people in the audience. One takes the straight philosophy. One wants totally emotional. Like they want to be very goody-goody, not very punching, like that. So immediately when you speak, these half people will go and tell to the senior, he is speaking very hard, very heavy.
Yeah, but you don't have to speak heavy, you just say it nicely. You just, in other words, if you know that that's the audience you deal with, you just deal with it that this is the point, but then we have to go back and see what's the actual point, where it comes from. Because otherwise what we call now, it's just like this. Okay, now means this is according to what I learned. Now, at one point, then a bunch of rough and ready guys, then with the approval of Queen Isabella, got on a boat. And they sailed west, and they landed over on a landmass there that they weren't so sure was there, or had heard about from someone else. You know, whether America Vespucci was there first or not, or who was there, but they went over there in any case. Right? And they, when they got over there, then basically what they did is collect as much of the wealth that is there as possible and brought it back to Spain, right? And so these are the conquistadors, these are the this, these are the glorious, they're getting, you know, whatever it is that the local appreciation will be, you know, like this and that. So according to what we heard, that was bona fide, is it? All it is they went from Europe, went over there, stole all the wealth, and came back. And then after they stole it, then they called them savages. Because they had no money. You know, they're just running around. They're poor people. So look at these guys, you know. Why should we care about them, right? They go in there. They have more opulence than the whole of Europe put together. Any one of them. The Mayans, the Incans, the Aztecs. And then they take it all. And then now Europe's, you know, the first world with all the money. So are they not thieves? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, so is that okay? Okay. England, then they built, made a huge amount of money selling opium to China. Did China want it? No, they said they don't want it. So what did they do? They burnt down the Summer Palace. You know, one of the biggest, most special architecture, you know, on the planet. You know, it's just like, would in England they appreciate it if the Colombian drug lords came over and said, we're selling drugs over here, and the queen said no, and then they burnt down Buckingham Palace? would that be considered, well, that's cool, you know? And so then she says, okay, you can sell drugs. So that means they made their money off of stealing, you know, off of exploitation, off of, you know, actually drug dealing, And pharmaceuticals, they're the biggest in the world. It's just dealing in drugs. Whether you need it or not, it's not a thing. It's just a matter of which company gets the doctors to recommend their medicine. So they're always going out and trying to sell their medicine. You know, you should use this one. They're already using another one. No, this one's better. And they'll get money for that. You know what I'm saying? So are all these things bona fide? No, but this is the way that it works. So the whole point is that's the problem. If it's not Shastric, it's totally up to the individuals to say. You know? It's like, what is it? History is written by the victors. Right? I mean, it's only a recent thing that this kind of like the locals can kind of write the history according to how they saw it. It's not become popular yet, you know, like that. You know, otherwise they could say, we want all our gold back. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, they haven't gotten it together yet. I don't think that, how you say, the Jews have worked on that one to get it back from Switzerland, you know, because they're smarter, right? You know, so then,
like Germany, that. Huh? In Germany, pay salt.
Yeah. You understand? So it means they could make a case that they came, stole all our wealth. We were more advanced, developed than them. You know, culturally and this and that. And so we demand our money back. You know what I'm saying? And they'll have a general idea. It was X amount of shiploads of gold. So, you know, you can kind of get a rough idea of the tonnage there. And then you put that into the modern thing. And then that many trillions of you know, whatever it is they're working in, euros. And that's what they owe Peru. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing is that if we really want to look at it, is it actually real? They're talking this thing, this is wrong, this doesn't work, and all that. But does what's going on now actually work? You know what I'm saying? Is it good? Is it getting a good effect? We're talking about everyone working together and living together and being nice and all that, but are we being nice? No. Yeah, so then how good is it? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly the same, this thing.
Yeah. But you just have to say it pleasantly, that you see is what's here, and just keep taking it step by step. Because otherwise they say that, and then end it there, and then everybody just agrees with it. Oh, it doesn't work now. How doesn't it work now? What aspect of Manu does not work now? Because it's going on now somewhere. We may say this, we may say that. But it's going on. You know, you say in the democratic world, but democratic world only lets you know how much they want you to know. They're just better at it. They've been at it for, you know, longer, right? Because they picked it up from the French, right? Who are the best. So it's just a matter of what they want you to know. Right? You're thinking, I know, but you're only knowing what they want you to know. The small-time people, then that all finds out, and this and that. That may be more, you know, what's happening. But on the top things, you don't know. And the fun part is, it doesn't matter. As long as you can live your life according to your values, what does it matter? Because you can't do anything about it anyway, so why waste your time thinking about it? You know what I'm saying? Because government means politics. So that we're saying there should be no politics, that's what government means. It's like saying it's a dog, it shouldn't slobber or something, you know? You know what I'm saying? So it's just a matter of taking whatever they say and just keep taking it a step further. You know, it doesn't work. Yes, why not? Unless you understand the principle. Now, if we understand the principle, then we know what's being said here. That way you can make it work, because detail is only to affect the principle. So if you don't know the principle, how do you know what detail to use? So that's the whole point. So in one sense, they're not wrong, but what they've said is not the full understanding. You know what I'm saying? So you just keep taking it forward. And that way you're nice, and it's, you know, Shastra. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Mother Jashoda, Mother Rohini, Nanda Maharaj, and Balaram, the greatest of the strong, all embraced Krishna. Overwhelmed with affection, they offered him their blessings. Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates. This verse describes his meeting with his mother and others, who were more affectionate to him than the other cowherds and women, and were situated behind. Rohini's name is mentioned before Nanda's name, since Nanda gave her great respect, and she was the assistant of Jashoda. Right, so she'll always go along with Jashoda. Balaram is called the best of the strong because though he could have lifted Govardhan also, since he holds the earth on his head with ease in his expansion named Sesha, right? Let alone Govardhan Hill, he holds the whole earth on his head, right? And it's like a mustard seed that he doesn't even know where it is. If I take a mustard seed, put it on your head, you don't even know it's there, right? You know it's there somewhere, but you don't know where, but you know, so yeah. He holds the earth on his head with ease in his expansion named Sesha. He was not inclined to do so because Krishna desired to perform this pastime. Otherwise, Balaram would have done it. But Krishna wanted to do it, so therefore. Or the phrase can indicate that he embraced Krishna with great intensity. So generally when it means these two things, it means both these. It's just that both these aspects are there. So depending on how you're looking, one aspect is there or the other. It's not that it's one or the other. It can be both of them. It's just which one you want to look at.
Usually or means it's one or the other.
That's sorry?
Or, when you have or. I mean, in the education system, when you say or, it implies this or that. You know, it doesn't mean
or. Of no consequence. The word says that, but the acharyas are bringing out that there are different ways to approach it. Different acharyas bring out different points. So they're just saying, you know, it's this. You can look at it this way. You can look at it this way. You can look at it this way. What is this?
A stone.
A stone. Okay. Could we also say that it's kind of, a greenish kind of color? So, is it a stone or is it green? No. It's green or it's a stone.
It's a green stone.
Okay.
No, why? Because this is only one or that we have, but in different commentaries we have four or five ors, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so all these ors are right. They're all right. This is a blanket, okay? And so if we look at the thermal aspect, it will keep you off the floor, it'll keep you nice, it'll keep you warm, okay? Then we look at what it's made of. It's a blanket, but it's a wool blanket. Right? So now if we look at it as a wool blanket, we'll look at the aspect of purity and this and that. So that's why we've been sitting on this for the last, I don't know how many years, and we haven't washed them. Because if they were cotton blankets, then, just looking at them, you might get a rash, right? You know, like that. So that's another thing. Then we may look at economically, because we got these kind of wool blankets rather than something from Raymond's with a nice, velvet borders on it, because these things are cheap, like that, you know, and a horse would be happy with this, you know, because they generally end up with worse, right? Does that make sense? So we're looking at the different aspects. So are any of those wrong? They're all right. So it's just a matter of one acharya brings out one aspect, one brings out another. That's why so many ors. Means you can look at it like this, as a blanket. You can look at it as a wool blanket from the perspective of purity. You can look at it as a cheap blanket from the economic point of view. You understand? You can look at it as a rugged blanket because you're not getting something really fine and all that, that every time everyone sits down it gets crinkled up. You understand? So all these are correct. It's one blanket. So in this pastime, so many things happen. So why is it only one? Like Prema Vaichitya is like, what, seven or nine different emotions happening at one time. So we're going to say, well, is it this one or is it that one? No, it's all at once. But you can bring out this one produces this result. That aspect produces that result. Does that make sense? So that's why, how you say, the literary aspect has its limitations. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. So we have to be very careful about that. I can't remember what the term is. Bibliophile or something, or I can't remember. It's a, some term that means that totally into the technical points. Yeah, that's the modern way. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be careful that we analytically can catch these, but we also have to catch the mood that goes with it, because the words are only to discuss describe a mood. So the exactness of the word is so that we get the exactness of the mood. The technicality is only to support that. Does that make sense?
Can I say something regarding the words?
Yes.
Instead of or, why didn't you use and? You know,
because it's not necessarily and. Because and means that it's happening at the same time. Well, with one devotee, Mother just showed us is that's happening. With someone else's, that's happening. Or Balaram has this mood and then it switches into that mood.
Yes.
Plus, these pastimes go on eternally, so each time it can have a slightly different flavor.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay? So there has to be, you have to understand is that it's a gentle way of just saying all this, because if we try to point out that all these things happen, then people get confused as it is. Right? It means, okay, you should give up all attachment to whatever you're doing and just surrender to Krishna. Okay, so that means I leave my house, family, job. No, you should be in your family, do your job, take care of everyone. Oh, so then I should be attached. No, you should give up everything and do it for Krishna. Oh, I should leave the home then. No, you should do everything in the house but connect to Krishna. Oh, so then I can be attached in that. No, you're supposed to... This can go on for eternity. You understand? So therefore, they say or... Because and is way above our pay grade. Or already is pushing the limits. You know what I'm saying? So that we have to be careful of. This is just a gentle way of how they say these. It's just, in other words, one acharya is bringing out different things. Because all of these are true. Whether they're all, well, it's all at the same perspective, that's not necessarily. There are different ways you can look at it to appreciate different things. Right? And Krishna being Bhaktivatsala here, did he not also chastise Indra? Right? So, you know, you understand? So they're both going on at once, but you're bringing out the prema between Krishna and the devotees, or you're bringing out the aspect that he's correcting in Indra. The pastime does both. But it's not that he's, you know, he's sitting there with the gopis and Mother Jashoda and seeing their affection for him and saying, this is really going to get Indra's goat here. No, he's just thinking about the devotees. He's Bhaktivatsala. And then at the end, when he puts it all down and that, okay, now it's cleared up, Indra's understood. So he does this to start, but then he goes into the pastime and arranges them this way for his devotees. Then they enjoy their pastimes together, and then when Indra's figured it out, it stops raining, so then that pastime as that's going, that ends. So both are accomplished. So it's just a matter of sometimes it is an and sometimes it's an or, just depending upon how the it's put together. So one has to be able to appreciate that. You know, it's just like going he, she, it every time. Although he, she, it could have lifted Govardhan Hill also, since he, she, it holds the earth on he, she, it's head with ease and he, she, it's expansion, name says. He, she, it was not inclined to do so because Krishna... It's stupid, right? The modern people try to do this. Why not just say, you know, although one could have lifted Vata, one, just use something more generic. But no, they have to prove their point and this. So we want to avoid all that kind of stuff, is that we don't over focus on these things. We catch what they're being said. In other words, it's a medium for the language, and the language has its roots, it has its this, but just like it says, if you stick strictly to the roots and everything's about the roots, one's missed the point, because the roots also transform as they're being, as the grammar is applied. You know what I'm saying? You go back to the root, that's nice if it enhances what's going on there, but if by going back to the root it doesn't enhance, then what is the meaning? You know what I'm saying? You know, I say, if we go into, okay, we're talking Romeo and Juliet, but if we go back into the ancient Latin and Greek and all that, then Romeo means an idiot and Juliet means one who's still, you know, how you say, immature. Does this add something to the whole story? You know, so that's why it has a limit, what you do. Does that make sense? That's the whole idea, is that they're bringing these things out because either they themselves are bringing out that these points are there, or other acharyas have brought out, and then they're bringing out something else. So that's why you see all these commentaries, they bring out different things, because the other commentaries have already mentioned. So Sridhar Swami has already mentioned something, they're not going to mention it again. They'll give some extension of that so we can appreciate more. So something he's emphasized, they'll bring out more detail of that. Then whatever Sanatana Goswami has given it, or Jiva Goswami, then Vishwanath's not going to say the same point. He's going to bring out something further. So that way it looks like, oh, but they're all so different, and how do they all... It's all one thing. They're all just saying the same thing. Just different aspects. Yes?
So, we sometimes we see that acharya, they give comments. Sometimes it seems quite esoteric comment.
Esoteric, yes.
Esoteric. It means like they know what Krishna thinks about.
But they do.
So does it mean that they see it in samadhi, or how can they know what?
How Krishna does it matter? Right? It means you get a can of beans, you open it, there's beans inside. What do you care how they... Did they put them in there one at a time? Did they put them in there two at a time? Did they put them in there 10 at a time? Did they put the beans first, then the sauce, or the sauce first, then the beans? Does it matter? For you to eat your, you know, how you say, you know, yeah, whatever it is. Does it matter?
No, I just wonder how can be...
No, but the point is does it matter? First answer that. Does it matter to you? Is it going to make some difference in how you practice devotional service? You're chanting your 16 rounds, you're offering obeisances, something's going to change. You're going to change how you do the artik or something. You're going to use squares or octagonals or something, or heard hexagonals are the strongest form, so you're going to use that now or something. Or is it going to change anything?
No.
So then why does it matter? Just for intellectual sake, we get absorbed in that and miss the whole point, is that it's pleasing to Krishna. Therefore, we should be trying to appreciate that and apply that in our life. Because the point is we won't know anyway. We won't understand anyway. And when someone would go into there and something like that, then you know, so it would be like when Prabhupada was saying, had said something, and it was one of these kind of more mystical aspects. And so then, I think it was Rameshwar, and Prabhupada said he was the smartest of everybody. You know, and so then he was explaining to the guests that, well, you know, that what is it? I can't remember the sages. They see time past, present. I can't remember whatever he was saying, and he was just saying that, no, I see this. So. You know, I mean, or Krishna tells me, you know.
The guest was saying that the knowledge will... How will the knowledge come? Rupa Sil Krishna will tell. So the guest didn't understand. So Rameshwar explained that through the heart he will say. So Rupa Sil, don't speak nonsense. Krishna will directly come and see.
Yeah. You understand? So the whole point is don't worry about it. So if they're saying that that's what's happening and that's what Krishna's saying, like these in-between, like you have a verse and a next verse, right? Yeah. Now, according to Vimamsa, there needs to be sandhi between the two. The sangati, there's six kinds of sangati. And so there needs to be that connection between one verse and the next. And so in that, then Sukadeva Goswami is making all that, but we may not be able to appreciate all that. And so then the acharya, especially we see, I mean, all of them do it, but especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, tends to show that sangati. And then he will bring out what is in between these two and why they're thinking that way. Because when you speak, you're thinking while you're speaking. You're going this, no, I shouldn't say that, I'll use this, and maybe I should say like this, maybe I should be stronger, like, right? All that's going on in your head while you're talking. So he just brings that stuff out. So how he knows that, what does it matter to us? The point is the acharyas said it, we accept it. Right? You know what I'm saying? It's like this. Who is the guy, the Greek guy in the bathtub and the Eureka and all that kind of jazz?
Archimedes.
Okay, so Archimedes, then we know how he figured it out. But now every time that they have the professors all come and they have this big conference and they get up there individually and speak at the podium, do we ask them, so did you figure this out, you know, while you were in the bathroom or while you were eating a sandwich and that? And when you were in the bathroom, were you on the toilet at the time or were you taking a shower or a bath or were you brushing your teeth? Does it actually matter?
Yeah, because like in China, ancient China, you know, usually the king have two secretaries. So one secretary record what he say, and another secretary record what he act. So that's why all the history of China still left until today.
Okay, so and the Indian stuff is, and that goes back how many thousand years?
Goes back to at least 3,000 years.
3,000 years ago, yeah, yeah. And what we're reading now goes back how many thousand years?
5,000 years.
Okay, and it doesn't document what went on then. And we don't see what they say, what they think, and what they do all in the on the verses. But we might miss it. So the acharyas point it out so that we understand it. Because even if you said the king did this, does the common person understand what that means?
No.
So someone has to explain it. That's why the acharyas give comments. That's why Purana is used, because it uses both of those. What they said, what they did, what the results were.
Yeah, but acharyas, they appear in the later time. So.
I see. Okay. So if someone's a Nitya Siddha, what time do you attribute to that? Eternal, kind of. Does that trump 3,000 years or 5,000 years? You can still use that term, right? Or now it's take on a different connotation.
What?
That something trumps something else.
Trump. Oh, yeah.
Because now it might have a different connotation. Just can't say that.
I think maybe it's even better now.
He doesn't care. Okay, so does eternal work for you on a time frame? Nitya Siddha means they're in the pastimes, so they happen to be kind to us and write down some details of what's going there that Sukadeva Goswami hints at. He can't give all the details. He has 7 days to speak 18,000 verses. Right? Because otherwise the Bhagavatam itself is probably much bigger. It means we have technically the smallest Bhagavatam. And like I said, Yamaraj, I think, has the biggest, at least when it comes to the species of life. And so the Puranas are, what was it? 2 billion verses. And we have 400,000 between 18 Puranas. So much more could be spoken. And that's why they mention other scriptures when they do this and that, or sometimes he just says what's going on. So if they happen to be there, is it a problem that they say?
No.
Then? So what does it matter? Everybody accepts their authority, so then... And even we say they're there, then it's like, well, how? He's only 500 years ago, but that's when they came down to perform their pastime. You know what I'm saying? It's like Jambavan. They're there building the bridge. Right? Now, Jambavan is Chiranjeev. So he's been there since the beginning, and he'll be there until the end of Brahma's life. So that means every pastime of Lord Ramachandra, he is in. So technically that means 1,000 times a day of Brahma. Right? And that's just one day of Brahma. Right? And then like that, then there's going to be 360 of those, and there's going to be 100 of those, so 36,000 of those days. And you know what I'm saying? And in each of those days, there's 1,000 pastimes. So while they're building the bridge, he's going on in ecstasy about how, wow, they're building a bridge now, you know, floating rocks and that. Last time they did it like this, and another time he did it like this, and all the different ways that he got over to Lanka. So is that a problem? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but the point is does it make any difference on whether he was there or whether he heard it? Whether he's you know, reading from someone else's notes and it hasn't been mentioned and he puts it in? Does it matter? So that's the whole thing. Is that, that's why that aspect of questioning, it's nice, but it actually doesn't matter. Because it doesn't change anything about the authority of the statements. They're accepted by the everyone, so that's there. You know, it's not that it can't be explained, it's just that it's not an important point. Does that make sense? So what we're supposed to catch here is the niceness and the flow of the conversations in that, not where they came from. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like that. Yeah. So like that, it's not important. Like you call out for a pizza and they bring the pizza, then you start asking which one of the dominoes it came from. Did it come from the one, you know, around the corner on that side, or was the one over on this side, or what, one back here? Does it matter? Right? You got your pizza. You understand?
Yeah.
It's one of the things that you can do. And probably much of the time, that's what they do in the academy to keep themselves busy. Because otherwise, what are they going to talk about, since they can't actually talk about conclusions? So that's what they have to do. So one has to know is that that kind of thinking actually is not so important. It keeps them busy, gives them a job, right? That, you know. But in reality, that's another thing. So in other words, those who think like that, they teach it and get paid a small amount. Those who understand it and can apply it, then they make lots of money.
Yeah, always like that.
Yeah. That's because what they're thinking about most of the time is useless. So why should you pay them more?
What are they going to do anyway?
Yeah, what would they do with it anyway?
This is what I'm going to offer you.
Yeah, I mean, how you say you paid Einstein more, instead of having 5 suits exactly the same, he would have had 7.
It's not like he can do anything else anyway.
Yeah,
he
would have had 3 pairs of house slippers, you know. You know, one with the you know, the bunny rabbit ears on it or something like that. Yeah, stuff like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. Is we have to discriminate what's the important part, like that. Because otherwise, then, in asking that, then it throws a doubt on the authority of the acharyas. You know what I'm saying? And then we're judging then which one is more bona fide and which one's not.
Maybe we'll try and see if we can do the same thing.
Yeah. You understand? So one has to think more. Just because it can come up and be thought about doesn't mean that it's important. So, okay? Not only the people of Braja became joyful. Oh no, we're farther up.
Agreeing with Krishna's desire.
Agreeing with Krishna's desire, he remained silent because of his great affection, his great strength and his knowledge, or in order to assist in glorifying Krishna as the lifter of Govardhan. Thus, he was not mentioned previously in the pastime. Right? So only now, because he's coming and congratulating and this and that, because otherwise it throws off the flavor. In this case, if Balaram's there. So we see sometimes these ones of great strength or great... Then Balaram's not there. So here he was there, but he's not mentioned until afterwards. Then as the elder brother, he can give, you know, blessings and give him a good hug and things like that. Jashoda, Rohini, and Ananda blessed him, saying, "Protect us always, be happy always, and attain all your desires at all times." They were bewildered, kataraha, because of their affection. In old drawings of lifting Govardhan, it is sometimes seen that the elder women offer him butter to eat, and his father and uncle support Govardhan with their heads. In this way, they become confused by their affection. Wow. And this is Jiva Goswami mentioning old drawings. Like that. Yeah, because sometimes these all, they have all kinds of far-out stuff. Sukadeva Goswami continued, "In the heavens, O King, all the demigods, including the Siddhas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, and Charanas, sang the praises of Lord Krishna and showered down flowers in great satisfaction. My dear Parikit, the demigods in heaven resoundedly played their conch shells and kettle drums, and the best of the Gandharvas, led by Tumburu, began to sing." Srila Jiva Goswami elaborates, "Not only the people of Braja became joyful, but the inhabitants of heaven also celebrated." This is described in two verses. Maharaj Parikit may have asked, right? So he's putting it here, may have asked, just throwing it out, because this is what he did. Vishwanath just goes, this is what he said. "Since Indra suffered broken pride, why did they act in this way? They were satisfied and joyful by seeing the sweet pastime of Krishna and the destruction of Indra's pride, which made him commit a criminal act." Right? Because as demigods, you're supposed to do the right thing. So by this, then it corrected his mentality. Then they're happy. Because it doesn't mean now he'll be tossed out and all that. You know? It means that now he'll act in his capacity in a more proper way. Or Sukadev calls out to Parikit in astonishment, "Since the Devatas rejoiced even though their king had suffered." Or, "Just as one properly ignores the government in deference to the king, so the Devatas properly ignored Indra in deference to the Supreme Lord. O Parikit, this is known to you. It should be understood that Indra was not angry by having his pride destroyed, because it was improper. So now he's understood things, so he's not angry. It just took him 7 days to figure it out. But that's how long Krishna wanted the pastime to go." Sukadeva Goswami concluded, "Surrounded by his loving cowherd boyfriends and Lord Balaram, Krishna then went off to the place where he had been tending his cows. The cowherd girls returned to their homes, singing joyfully about the lifting of Govardhan Hill and other glorious deeds performed by Lord Krishna, which so deeply touched their hearts." Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, "While Krishna was lifting up Govardhan, Radha and the other dear gopis were glancing at him from far off, unnoticed by others. When they were returning to their houses, they were singing with love. It should be understood that they had the ability to make songs about his activities at that moment. Hrid Sprisha can mean the gopis who touched Krishna in their heart filled with playing, or always meditating on Krishna. Or it can mean gopis whom Krishna touched to his chest or in his mind, that is, who are very dear to Krishna." So the most dear ones, then they're able to, just on the spot, just create songs like that. Just that's their ability. One is they have so much affection that they're thinking like that, but two is just they have that ability, that skill.
There is more effect to the homes also. The cowherd girls return to their
homes. Yeah, no, because Krishna just arranged it that nothing happened. He tried to make this whole thing, but everything's just as it was. So in other words, before the pastime started, Vrindavan looks exactly the way it was before. Like that. So that's the whole point. You know, making it into this thing, everything's being washed away and this, and they're all freaking out. No, they were all at Govardhan already. And then the pastime started and that, and then they went back. So that's it. It didn't go to Mathura, it didn't affect anything. You know, Sudarshan was going around drying everything up. So, you know, it was all going very nicely. But so that's the whole point, is that they're only inferred. Right? So in here, he never actually mentions Radharani, but those who understand, they can see where she's mentioned. Okay. So, that ends that part. And tomorrow we'll start the chapter 26, Wonderful Krishna.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhakti Vrinda ki,
Jai
Nitai Gaura Vrinda ki.